Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Pundarik Vijayaniti was hailing from East Bengal, but was frequenting Navadvip long before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, contemporaries were Advaitacharya, who was a little older, Srivas Thakur, who was of a similar age. Others were there, like Gopinathacharya. It is said that Gopinathacharya was especially absorbed in chanting the holy name. And sometimes he would just become completely restless because of this chanting, and he would just dance on the waves of the sound of the holy name. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said, would daily chant and dance all alone. Who's chanting and dancing all alone? Dvaitacharya, Gopinathacharya, Haridas Thakur, Pundarik Vijayaniti, all these Nitya Siddha Mahabhagavats. And they appeared before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pundarik Vijayaniti was an unusual person. Mukunda came from the same region. And Mukunda was a very sweet singer. So Mukunda knew very well what personality Pundarik Vijayaniti was. So Mukunda told Gadadhar, and told Gadadhar to meet Pundarik Vijayaniti. So, on the word of Mukunda, Gadadhar was extremely eager to meet Pundarik Vijayaniti. When they came, Pundarik Vijayaniti was seated on an opulent seat with nice silken cushions all around him, studding his body.
Like these?
There were only two.
You want to sit on a chair?
There were scented water pots by his side. He was being fanned. There was incense billowing at the side of the seat. He was chewing pan. So in this way, he was seated there. And Mukunda and Gadadhar entered. So Gadadhar was a little bit shocked to see all the opulence. The hair of Pundarik Vijayaniti was nicely trimmed, very nicely combed and trimmed, and Mukunda was introducing Gadadhar and saying, here is Pundarik Vijayaniti. And Gadadhar was, okay, very nice. He was thinking, He's a sense enjoyer. Mukunda saw the doubt on Gadara's face. Then Mukunda sat down and began to sing a song. And Mukunda had a very, very sweet voice. And as he was singing this song, the song was describing what happened to Putana and how Putana came, put poison on her breast, how Putana tried to kill the child Krishna, how Krishna reciprocated because Krishna accepted her breast and Krishna, he drank her milk. Of course, he also drank the poison, but poison doesn't affect him, but milk does. Where the poison had no effect whatsoever, the milk did have effect, because the milk melted Krishna's heart. Of course, Krishna then did not only suck the milk and the poison, he also sucked her life airs out, which, you know, was a little bit for Putana, a little bit difficult for Putana to swallow. So Putana didn't last, unfortunately, in her disguise of a beautiful lady, and Putana had to retreat. She ran out of the house, the child still hanging on her breast and squeezing very hard with his tiny little hands, but so painfully, so hard, that she just could no longer maintain her disguise and just took her 20-kilometer long form as she ran out of the house of Nanda, otherwise the house of Nanda would have been no more. And then, when she came to the edge of Vrindavan, she crashed to the ground in this huge form, crushing all Kamsa's favorite fruit trees. And then, Putana received the form of Krishna's mother, because what Krishna really considered was she offered me milk. And all the impurities that were there in Putana, he overlooked. He didn't see. He didn't see her faults. He just saw that one good thing. So Mukunda was singing a song describing this, particularly this point, that Krishna overlooked all the weaknesses and all the fault and just accepted that one good thing. And that Putana was promoted to the eternal position of Krishna's mother, that is to say, a datri, an assistant to Mother Yasoda, a nurse who was helping, making arrangements for the bathing water and so on. And as Mukunda was singing about the amazing mercy that Krishna bestowed on Putana and gave so much hope to the heart of all, because everyone was thinking, if Putana, who gave poison and yet did some service, then there's hope for us who are also not offering pure devotional service, but mixed devotional service at best. And then there's hope for us that Krishna will also separate the impurities from the purity, from the little bit of purity that is there. And as Pundarik heard this and about this mercy of Krishna, he melted. He melted on the spot and went completely wild, and he kicked. I will not do it because the Madanga might pray. But Pundarik was not considering anything. He kicked over the water pots. He just rolled off the silk cushions, fell on the ground, rolled in the water, meshed up all his beautiful clothes and everything. His hair was like finished totally. In complete ecstasy, Pundarik was appreciating the mercy that Krishna bestowed upon Putana. And that, then Gadadhar understood. It's like, and I was doubting, that's a great offense. Therefore, I must now surrender my life to Pundarik Vijayanidhi, which Gadadhar then did. So this quality of Krishna to somehow or other accept the good is our saving grace. If Krishna didn't have that quality, there was no question of being successful. Therefore, this particular point that Putana was given the mercy is reiterated again and again by our acharyas. Srila Rupa Goswami has also addressed it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because this is an amazing, amazing point. And therefore with hope we are going forward. This hope is referred to by Srila Rupa Goswami as asabandha. He says asabandha is the hope against hope. Hope against hope, that although we are not qualified, we will never give up devotional service, never. And we will continue with great conviction that it will pay off and will be successful. And we are knowing that devotional service itself purifies. Anartapasamam saksat bhakti yoga madoksha je. It is automatically destroying the anartas. Anarta meaning stumbling block on the path of devotion. Srila Prabhupada sometimes made bold statements and said that the entire material world is an anarta. That was kind of just so that if we thought there was anything enjoyable about the material energy, just let's call a spade a spade. It's an anarta. But one can counter that, because that is the unique feature of devotional service. Nirbandha, Krishna sambandha, yukta vairagya uchate. By connecting anything with Krishna, we can change the nature of these things. Just like in the UK in the north, the area is known for a drink, which in North America has been described by the indigenous people as fire water. And that kind of drink, right? In Vaishnav philosophy, is undrinkable. What would we do? It is said if there is a pot and it becomes contaminated with alcohol, you cannot purify it. Even cow dung cannot not purify it. That pot is finished, then, forever.
Got to go shopping now.
But what do you do? What do you do if someone comes and with a lot of devotion, after hearing the Rata Yatra lecture, offers a bottle of whiskey? What would you do? Would you take it, or would you say, like,
how you can bring such a thing?
What would you do? Dramatically break it, take the bottle, throw on the ground, and say, "This is poison." One could do. But this would not be in the spirit. Not be in the spirit of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is ready to go anywhere. It says when Lord Nityananda goes into the liquor store, don't think he's a drunk. So Lord Nityananda goes there. So what do we do when someone offers a bottle of whiskey? No problem. You have never seen a Western movie in your life.
Well, you know, Billy Joe, hey, you know, pull your six shooters out, you know. And those cowboys, right, everybody knows, you know, when sort of in the Wild West, the bullets are flying. And the cowboys, they always get like a little flesh wound somehow or other, you know, like a little scratch. They never get hit for real. And then, someone pulls out a knife, holds it in the fire, and throws some whiskey on the wound, you know, and take out the bullet. And the next day he's galloping away again on the prairie, right? Okay. I guess you've seen it all, so maybe switch to the other channel or whatever. And rightly so, you know. But we can take something from that, you know. We can see that, nothing wrong with alcohol. What's wrong with alcohol? You got a problem with alcohol? Hmm? There's nothing wrong with alcohol. It's good stuff. It's, I tell ya, alcohol, it's good for you. Yeah.
My guru says.
That's right. As long as it's on the outside of the body and not on the inside. There's nothing wrong on the outside. That's what it's for. That's what we're using it for. That's all. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Varagya Uchite. Simply use it on the outside and it's okay. But not inside. So like this, one must know the purpose of how to engage everything in the service of Krishna somehow or other. That takes intelligence. And otherwise, well, you know, we'll just throw it away. But the other day I told that story about Srila Prabhupada who used the Mayavadi brochures. I was telling it in Crawley. And those who missed it, that some program was there and this Mayavadi gave Prabhupada a whole box of brochures. It's like Prabhupada says to the devotees, you please keep the brochure. Kept the box. Thank you so much to the Mayavadi Swamiji. Thank you for your gift. Next Sunday feast, Prabhupada asked for the box. Do you still have that box? Yeah, we still have the box. Prabhupada said, please bring it. Then he had the brochures distributed to everyone in the Sunday feast. So it's like the devotees are going like, you know, it's like children when they get educated by their parents and then they see that their parents breaking the rules, right? Then, you know, they get very serious about that, you know. It's like, oh yeah, that's not allowed. So you can understand the new devotees, they're seeing like, Prabhupada is preaching, you know, giving Mayavadi brochures, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like catching your spiritual father, right? And Prabhupada said, yes, and give everyone a brochure. Then everyone had a Mayavadi brochure. Prabhupada said, did everyone get one? People said, yes, yes. Prabhupada said, fold it open. Fold it open. And put it on the floor in front of you. Everyone did. And then Prabhupada had the devotees serve prasadam on top of it. In this way, he engaged that Mayavadi in the service of the Lord. He could have also just said, thank you very much, nice gift. Thanks, and then sort of like, you know, what you do with useless gifts, you know. The useless gifts, right? No, he found a purpose for it. And that was a way to engage that that person in the service of the Lord and get the mercy. Oh, so how nice. So the devotee is helping the Lord. And the Lord is ready in that spirit of accepting Putana. So somehow or other, Prabhupada extracted a drop of milk out of the Mayavad poison, right? Which was suitable to offer to Krishna. Here, you know. It's a nice glossy brochure, makes a great plate. Just think about how Prabhupada was just thinking, how can I somehow or other get this person the mercy? How nice. Such a benevolent personality. Thinking so much, like, and they always just think, like, Mayavadi, you know what I mean? Mayavadi. Mayavadi bashing is a Vaishnav sport. So, that is such an endearing story of what it's like to be non-envious, what it's like to be in. To be Suridam Sarvadeinam, the friend of all living beings. Even when they're not nice, still to be the friend that we see in Prabhupada. So this is the spirit of Lord Chaitanya's movement to somehow or other
find the one good thing, right, in a person. The Chaitanya Bhagavat also has the story, which is the story of Vishvambar. Vishvambar walked in Navadvip, aristocratic and just extremely handsome. His bare chest featured his Brahmin thread, and Ananta Sesh had personally entered into that Brahmin thread. He was walking through Navadvip, and everyone was just looking at him. He was brilliant, effulgent, so intelligent, so refined, so aristocratic, so amazing. One sannyasi walked by and said, "Oh, Vishvambar, let me offer you some blessings. May you have a long life. May you have great wealth. May you have a beautiful wife. And may you have great learning." Wealth, I already said, yes, great learning. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Is that a blessing? It's more like a curse." "Oh, Sister Sannyasi, see the influence of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, people, they are so ungrateful. So ungrateful. You give them blessings and what you get. Just see, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga." Then Nityananda was there. He said, no, sir. I know this boy. He has a difficult character. No one can handle him, but I can. Sir, I appreciate your blessings very much." "Ah," said the sannyasi, "a man with intelligence. Ha ha. Rare to meet someone like you, sir. You must come to my house and take little prasad." "Ah," Nityananda said, yes. We will come, but we'll only take little fruit. Only little fruit. All right, sannyasi, come. So they followed the sannyasi, and when they came to the sannyasi's house, the sannyasi's wife was already waiting outside. Yes. She said, "Oh, you brought guests. Oh, you brought guests. That's very nice. Yes. He said, "Yes, they're coming to take a little fruit." Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda came in, the sannyasi's wife served the fruits, and it's like you're enjoying anything. Then, as it's going on, right, and the sannyasi goes like, "You want some ananda?" "Yes." The wife says, stop, there are guests, don't do this." "Shut up." "Little ananda." "Yes. Take, huh?" "Yes." Then, you know, then Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya says to Nityananda, who knows these things, you know, he knows the ways of low-class men. So then Lord Chaitanya said, "What is this this ananda is talking about?" Then Lord Nityananda said, "Alcohol." "Alcohol?" I mean, Lord Chaitanya didn't even repeat it. I mean, he just jumped up right there and then, and just full speed, ran out the door with Nityananda on his heels. And they're both running as fast as they could, and just with clothes on and everything, jumped in the Ganga. Now, okay, let's backtrack a little bit. Yeah. I mean, why? Okay, we can understand when the sannyasi offered alcohol that was too much and that they went for purification. But why didn't they just run away when they saw the sannyasi's wife? Why didn't they run away and jump in the Ganga then? Right? I mean, any answers to that?
Because she was serving them something.
The sannyasi's wife was nice. That could be. Huh? Maybe that would be one answer. The sannyasi's wife was a great devotee, although her husband was a wretch. No, but still, she knew that she shouldn't be with the sannyasi, so that answer is also not right. She was also adharmic, so that doesn't fly. No. No, what it was is that actually this sannyasi had offered a benediction to Bishwambar. He didn't have to do it. He did it completely voluntarily, on his own accord. It was a voluntary offering. The quality of the offering, unfortunately, was not so good, because he offered only temporary things. So, and Lord Chaitanya said, this is more like a curse, you know, because all these temporary fruits will just won't help me. But anyway, he did it with all good intention, actually. And therefore, although Lord Chaitanya pointed out the fault in the offering, Nityananda took the good in the offering and saw he's actually sincere and he's really wanting to do something. And as a result, therefore, yes, they went for some fruit and Lord Chaitanya went along with it. And they even overlooked the fact that he was fallen and had a lady. But then, you know, when the second time he offered the alcohol, they ran away. And why was that so? Ultimately, to show that there is a standard. There is a standard in spiritual life. It's not, oh, Nityananda is so merciful, you can do anything. Anything. It's okay. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. You drink, you smoke, you do any damn thing. It's all right. You know. Yes. You chant Hare Krishna and you can do anything. No. Not like that. So to show that there are standards, actually, that the Lord is most merciful, takes the nectar from poison, but then there are standards, and therefore they ran away and jumped in the Ganga. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it's a very interesting story also. Deep, could make a good play. Mm-hmm. So any questions or comments?
Vishwambar.
Jai Krishna.
No, Vishwambar, I never saw him smiling.
Jai Krishna.
Subject of alcohol.
Alcohol. Okay.
Not in public, probably. Have a meeting.
Yes, the whole meeting.
Vicious.
Seemed that the Kshatriyas, they would partake in maybe some intoxication with some of the Kshatriyas or devotees. Is that correct? Or is it like
Yes, it seems like that. And because Vedic culture did seem to allow some of these things in the days of the Mahabharata. Right? In the days of the Mahabharata, it appears that some brahmanas were eating some flesh and some kshatriyas were drinking some alcohol and so on. Under certain conditions and yagyas, that was allowed to take. But at the same time, that was a lower type of activity. It was karma kanda. It was regulated sense gratification, products of yagya and so on. Right? So on occasions, maybe so. But not much good comes from it. Huh? We're seeing that the yadus, they got in trouble on this activity. And the pure devotees, they were not taking, there's no question. So, and even if there would be, at that time, some pure devotees that might have taken, then that's between them and Krishna. Mm-hmm. But now it's very clear, it's stipulated very clearly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set very clear standards, no intoxication, not even pan. Right? And Bhagavatam makes it very clear. Panam, jutam, sthiyam, sunam. These things, the meat, the alcohol, the intoxication, general illicit sex, and gambling, these kind of things, they were, they give Kali a chance to hold us in his grip. Mm-hmm. So, I don't want to tell another long story, but very short. There was Nala and Damayanti. And it's a very long story and a nice one too, but like, you know, I just cut off the first half, which is really good. Sorry for that. I'm missing out like big time. What can you do? And if you tell only the second half, it becomes a little dry. But what can you do? Tell the first half. All right. Because you're forcing me. You know, it's getting kind of late, yeah. But, you know, jeez, can you do it? Ladies and gentlemen, on popular demand, today, the special narration of Nala and Damayanti.
So,
Damayanti, oh, what a princess she was. Like, I mean, her beauty was just beyond this world. In fact, you know, where on earth ever walked a lady like Damayanti? Every prince on the planet had his eye on Damayanti. And in fact, not only every prince, but even Indra, even Agni, and even Vayu. Oh yes, they too were looking. And you know, these demigods, they look and you don't see it, but they can perceive so many things. So anyway, it was the time for the Swayamvar. So Nala, a prince of who was stout and handsome and certainly like, you know, worthy, a beautiful princess, of good character, noble, and having exactly all the qualities that one would expect in an appropriate spouse, went on the way to the Swayamvar. Everything looked really fine, and so on. And just, he was traveling on the way, and since it was a long journey, he was making sure to reach in time, so he was a bit early. Then on the way, suddenly, there appeared Indra and Agni and Vayu before Nala. Nala, seeing these great gods before him, came down from his chariot, paid obeisances on the ground, folded his hands and said, "My lords, how can I serve?" They said, Oh Nala, thank you so much. Nala said, "You know, how can I serve you? Whatever you desire." Indra spoke. Indra said, "My dear Nala, very soon there will be the Swayamvar of Damayanti, and we are on the way for the Swayamvar of Damayanti, so could you be our messenger to Damayanti? And tell her that we are interested in marrying her and that we will come to the Swayamvar." Yeah. So Nala said, "That's not fair. I was on the way and you knew it very well." Indra said, "Did you give your word or not?" Well, okay, so Nala went. And Nala came to Damayanti and, you know, and greeted her, and he told Damayanti that I'm a messenger of Indra and of Agni and Vai. They are, come to the Swayamvar, they are interested. Damayanti said, "Very sorry, tell them that it will not be possible." "I'm very sorry, it won't be possible, because I have already chosen Prince Nala as my as the husband that I desire." Yes. So that was the message. And Nala came out, and then outside Indra was waiting, and he appeared, and Indra said, "So, what did Damayanti say?" And Nala told everything, the whole thing. So then it was the day of the Swayamvar. And then what happened was that Damayanti was there with her garland ready for the whole thing, you know, for Nala to appear. But then there were four Nalas. And they were identical. Each more handsome than the other one. And Damayanti looked and like, is it this one? Is it that one? Is it this one? Is it that one? She couldn't figure it out which one it was. So that was a complication. So then she prayed. She prayed. Yeah, it's the things that can happen in the world. She prayed, let on the strength of my chastity the truth be revealed. And then the demigods could no longer maintain their disguise. And then there was Nala, and she put the garland. And then Indra said, anyway, you know what I mean, like, you know. She wanted Nala. All right, you know. Girls are like that. When they put their mind to something and they really want it, you know, then, like, what can you do? It's like, then it's just, it's the way it is. She wanted Nala, you know. Okay. So they all three went and they were okay with it. But then, when they were back in the celestial regions, then the lowest of the celestials came, Kali, the presiding deity of Kali Yuga. And he went to Dwarka, to Dwapara, and he said to Dwapara, Dwapara, listen to this. This Nala, what he did, so disrespectful, inconceivable, he disrespected Indra. No, really, that's not very good. That's right, Dwapara, come with me. And we must tell Indra, yes. They went to Indra, and Indra said, well, that was all right, you know, the girl, she wanted him, you know, it's the way girls are, right? So, no, said Kali, no, see, all right, she wanted him, that was fine, but he should have refused. He should have had the humility to refuse. Indra said, there is some truth to that, actually. He was very proud. He didn't back down. He should have given preference. You know. And they said, in terms of etiquette, he should have. You are right. Then grant me one thing. Grant me that I may teach him a lesson. Tatastu. And yes, then Kali followed Nala. And on one occasion, when Nala did not properly wash after eating and remained contaminated, then Kali took advantage and entered into his body. And Kali was inside, and Kali possessed Nala. And as he possessed Nala, right, Nala, his thinking became influenced. But Nala had no idea. And suddenly Nala had this idea of entering into a gambling match. And of course, he lost everything, his whole kingdom, all his wealth and everything. And at the end, there was only one cloth which he had to cut in half, half for his wife, Damayanti, half for himself. And they were going to the forest. And Kali continued to possess Nala. And when Nala was in the forest, he started lamenting. And he said in the forest that, I am so unworthy of you, O saintly Damayanti. I have blown it. I have destroyed our lives. I'm not worthy to be your husband. And she said, you know, you're not going to leave me alone in the forest, are you? And like, yes. But that's what he did, you know. That's what he did. Gosh, you know. And she was all alone in the forest there, you know. Well, yeah. Then this hunter comes from nowhere, you know, and his eye fell on Damayanti, and there was really no police force around her to protect her, all alone in the forest. So he was going to take her by force. And then Damayanti said, may I be protected on the strength of my chastity. And bang, you know, the hunter fell dead on the spot. So somehow or other, that chastity worked well. So that was pretty good. Anyway, so After a long journey, you know, out of the forest and lots of adventures, Tama Yanti made it to the house of her father, which is what a chaste girl does if the husband is somehow or other not available. So she was there, but that wasn't everything. Of course, you know, it wouldn't be a complete story if she wasn't expecting. Definitely, you know, somehow or other that had to be true. And she was there and gave birth to a son who was born in the absence of the father. Meanwhile, the father became quite degraded under the influence of Kali, and like what he didn't do, I mean, he did all the things that everybody does nowadays, so we know very well what he did in that respect. Anyway, so after all that, you know, somehow or other, Nala came to the kingdom where Damayanti was residing with her father, and he came to the court. But he was at that time so under the influence of Kali that Damayanti, when he came, said, Oh, I'm so happy you came. Here is your son. He said, like, my son? That's not my son. That's not my son. You know what I mean? Who says that's my son? And then Damayanti, guess what she said, you know? Sure enough, she did it again, you know? And on the strength of my chastity, may the truth be revealed. And sure enough, you know, by now we are expecting something, isn't it? Sure enough, there was a celestial voice. And the celestial voice announced that this is indeed the son of Nala. And as that celestial voice announced, somehow or other, you know, when it comes to celestial voices, there is no talking in the celestial regions behind Indra's back, you know. He knows. So Indra immediately knew about this celestial voice, and therefore Indra immediately said, all right, now it's enough. Right? Now it's enough, Indra, to Kali. You know, you've had your thing. So then Kali had to withdraw. But it's interesting, I mean, to see how Kali works. And that Kali is sort of entering into the mind, into the consciousness, and that the person doesn't even notice it and thinks that he's making his own choices. And meanwhile, he's possessed by Kali. And that what was going on with Nala. And now Kali has a free license. And anyone can become possessed by Kali now. Oh yes, and chastity is long out of the window. And, you know, and what can we do? You know, too late for that, right? And here we are, you know, it's like, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. Therefore, if in this age one says, well, actually, you know, I am a Singh and we are a Kshatriya line, you know. And therefore, I've made some rice wine at home, yeah. or left the fruit juice out of the fridge. It's bubbling. No. Because that's when Kali will enter and possess us, and we won't even know it. And we'll all think and making our choices. So better not. Because where these four activities are going on, there Kali has free reign. Panam, Jutam, Sriyam, Sunam. The four sinful activities.
But Nala didn't do any sinful activity, so why Kali entered?
Nala, he was not following the...
Before.
He was unclean.
Because he didn't wash his hands.
Yeah. He didn't wash his hands and mouth after eating.
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna.
I read it like the Putana story, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was in another yuga. So Nala was measured by the standard of Dwapara Yuga. Mm-hmm. Previous yuga. But, so we are measured by the standard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so even if the hands are not so clean, still you get away. But Prabhupada, of course, is still a malecha. So that has to be there. No, I only told the story to show how Kali works. I mean, that's why it's super interesting.
Scary.
Yeah, a little scary also, then. Good reason to follow the four eggs. Which one, bro?
I think
I'll pass.
I don't know what to say. He was smiling when he said, "It's most handsome, etc., etc."
No.
He let it go. Yes, he's afraid what I might wake up next, right? I have also a sweet story.